The Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
At this time, the children ages 3 through 10 are invited to join Katie for a story time in the music room, and they will return at the piece.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. My 7-year-old daughter and I have a rather sweet tradition that's developed over the course of my time in seminary. On the way home from school or over dinner, she'll say, "Mama, it's time for the joke of the day. What's a ghost's favorite treat?" "Ice cream." On days when it's just the two of us home in the evening, when my husband Brian is out running a choir rehearsal, sometimes the jokes will come one after another, rapid fire, back and forth. They may take up most of dinner time, most of the evening. "Mama, why did the chicken cross the road?" "To get to the other side." "Why did the dinosaur cross the road?" "Because chickens didn't exist yet." "Why did the fox cross the road?" "To get to the chicken." Jesus said, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work." The next breath, Jesus compares himself to a chicken, a mother hen to be precise, longing to gather her chicks under the safety of her wings. Now we know how it is between foxes and hens. We have sayings about foxes guarding hen houses, and those who raise chickens often have battle stories of beloved hens attacked and killed by foxes who've snuck into a coop under cover of darkness. For a mother hen, a fox is a serious threat, a predator to be avoided. But Jesus would not be deterred by this wily, menacing, foxy king. When we meet Jesus in today's gospel lesson, he is in the midst of his long, slow journey toward Jerusalem, where he knows he will meet his death, not at the hand of a smaller regional power like Herod, but rather at the hand of the great ruling Roman state. He has set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he will not be deterred by Herod's threat delivered by Pharisees, who seem in this case to be genuinely trying to help to protect Jesus. Jesus knows that in that great city he will find himself next in a line of prophets who have met their ends there, each killed by the kings of their age, the prophets Uriah, Zechariah, and Isaiah, to name a few. The path of discipleship to follow Jesus at this stage in his journey is long, it is slow, and it is harrowing. And my friends, if you find that your Lenten journey at this time feels long and slow and maybe harrowing, you would be in good company with our Savior Christ. I think it's not too much to say that the kind of discipleship that we need in the year of our Lord 2025 is a discipleship for the long haul. Following Jesus at this time means keeping our eyes on God over the long arc of history with faith that it continues, in the words of our brother Martin Luther King Jr., to bend toward justice. In the words of Psalm 27, though false witnesses may rise up against us and those who seek malice, we wait for God. We take comfort in a God who loves us, who gathers us together under her wings, and who strengthens our hearts. Gathered together under the wings of Jesus, we hold close to our primary mission to live God's love, to love God, and to love one another. And so we follow Jesus over that long, slow arc toward God's justice, toward God's peace, God's shalom. But how do we do this when we are surrounded by threats from the wily, foxy forces of this world? How do we hold close to the wings of our mother hen when forces larger than us threaten to bring chaos? The gospel hints that Jesus deeply understands this struggle. In Jesus' unwavering focus on his cosmic mission, he zeroes in on the particularity of today, tomorrow, and the next day. I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. These words from Jesus cause me to wonder, what am I doing today to live God's love? What am I doing tomorrow to love God and love my neighbor? What about the next day? And that's it. Just a few days are all that Jesus has on his calendar. Even though his work is the most important and the most world-altering work in all of human history. Today, tomorrow, and the next day is when the work gets done. Not next month, not next year, not even next week. What we have is this singular, blessed, precious present moment in which to live God's love. I sense that St. Paul understood this struggle too. After all, Paul's walk with Jesus landed him in prison, where he wrote his letter to the Philippians. In the letter, Paul hints that he might be executed there, though this would ultimately happen later, also under Roman rule. The early church lived under periods of state persecution, and in the face of such threats, Paul instructed his flock to stand firm in the Lord and hold fast to the examples of Christian life set forth by Paul himself and other church leaders. Stand firm in the Lord, says Paul, in the presence of adversaries. Now, here is where we need to tread carefully with Paul. For while he writes of those living as enemies of the cross of Christ, we must remember that Paul too was once a persecutor of the church. We are all too familiar with Christians designating friends and enemies, who's in and who's out, and using such designations to justify sin and violence against those who fall on the outside of our self-made borders. We must remember that Jesus crosses all borders and subverts all our expectations about who is friend and who is foe. Following Jesus today, we are to keep our focus not on the bluster of the foxy foe, but rather on the protecting wings of the mother hen. For it is this mothering Jesus who will guide us through the hard journeys of our lives as we walk with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, through long days of labor for God's kingdom, through pain and death, and finally, at last, to an Easter morning. And so, following Jesus, the incarnate word, and following Paul's example, we stand firm. We stand firm in Christ when we tend to those hurting in our families, in our communities, extending the love of Jesus through actions that lift hearts, bind wounds, and foster loving relationship. We stand firm in Christ when we get up day after day and go out into this hard world and try to move the needle just a little bit closer toward justice. We stand firm in Christ when things fall apart all around us, when we are fired or when we are laid off from work. We remember that we will not be left alone, but we will be gathered up by the wings of God into a community that cares for us and supports us. We stand firm in Christ when we show up for one another in God's love, whether it's at the ballot box or at the protest line, or whether it's at the office or the home of a loved one, or at a street corner or the hospital, or side by side right here with our siblings in Christ. We stand firm under the wings of our mother Christ, under the wings of the God who made us, who formed us and loves us and gave God's self for us, the God who knows that death on a Roman cross is not the end of the story. We stand firm with a God who knows that the arm of power in this world may be strong enough to wield death, but it is not strong enough to wield life. That our God and Christ is the resurrection and the life, and at the end of the road to Jerusalem, we find not merely a cross, but the true life that lives beyond death. For my friends, it is on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.